Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Holton Sandiford, and he is the youth minister at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We're going to talk about all kinds of things probably today, mainly Upward basketball and Upward soccer. But you just asked me a question that had been asked by the preacher out there at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. If you want to ask it again, I didn't get the opportunity to answer you.
I do.
Jeff Biggs
was telling me to ask you about the roller coaster and carnival you and your brother had built in the backyard at your parents' house younger.
Jeff was a chum. Hung around the house before they moved to Albion.
Some things never change.
Yeah. And all right. Somebody in the neighborhood. I cannot remember where what house it came from. Would have been one of the near. Well, there's one of the houses they got cable television, right? So that's great. You know, when you get cable television, a lot of folks they want to tear down their the existing antenna, right? Mm-hmm. The antenna is 40, 50, 60 feet tall on the side of the house. It's a good long, tall antenna, maybe not that long, 40. So we saw this antenna on the ground, and we had a playhouse in the back of in the backyard and right under a tree. So this was a shade, nice little playhouse. We took the antenna home. Set the playhouse on top of the building, you know, going down to the ground, right? And it's probably, I don't know, 8-9 feet up in the air. And so, back then everybody had sleds with rails.
Okay.
So we put the railed sled on this thing, and we drove it. And we rode it down we rode it probably about 2 or 3 weeks before the whole thing fell apart. You know, you can only put so much weight on one of those antennas.
Of course.
Before they collapse. And but as part of the whole thing, we tried to figure out other ways to make money on this. Because we were going to charge kids in the neighborhood 5 or 10 cents a ride.
Right.
It's a ride. It's great. We'd been to like.
It's like the holiday world of Southern Illinois.
Exactly right. It's like Six Flags.
There we go.
And we did a couple of other things. We had, I can't remember, something with a bike ramp. A ramp you'd get to ride your bike on and like fly off the ramp, which was fun. We're all still alive.
Yeah.
That's the shocking part. I can't believe Jeff remembers that, though. That is pretty good. That's pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, Holton works with Jeff out there at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Now, so having been given that idea, is that something that you think your youth, you're their youth minister, is this a program or something you think you might be able to work on with your kids, building their own little roller coaster?
You know, you had Cody Simpson in here a while back. Yeah. He's an engineer major.
That's right.
If we bring him back, you know, get our college students involved, we can make some nice fundraiser.
Cody was making – that's what Cody was doing, basically.
The Ninja Warrior
the
stuff.
The Ninja Warrior stuff. They're building basically obstacles.
Right.
And I got to tell you, if you don't see flying down from a playhouse on a television antenna careening on a lead sled – as an obstacle, that sounds like a fun one.
I think we can make a lot of money charging people.
I like the thought.
I don't know what the liability and insurance.
There might be a little insurance money involved. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, that's pretty good. I'm glad Jeff reminded me of that. I hadn't thought about that in years. That was fun. Welcome to the show again. By the way, it's been a while since you were here.
It's good to be here.
The last time you were here, we were talking about soccer,
right?
And people of my age, of my ilk, don't typically pay a lot of attention to soccer, but the kids love it, don't they?
Yeah, it's definitely a growing sport. It's not as big in Southern Illinois as it is. I went to school in Tennessee, and it was huge there. You know, in the South, it's real large. But
really? Is that a weather thing, you think?
That's what I've kind of wondered, too, myself, if it was a weather thing. But I'm not sure. But around here, the children, the younger kids love it, and it's... it's one of my favorite. I was telling Bruce earlier. It's my favorite of the two, almost, just because it's so much easier. to coach soccer, you just throw a ball out there and tell the kids to run around and kick it.
Let's tell folks what the Upward program is.
The Upward program, right. It's a Upward, and they have different sports you can play. We have, in Fairfield, we have cheerleading and soccer and basketball. Cheerleading runs with basketball. There's no cheerleading with soccer. Then there's also a flag football program that I'm aware of. And it is basically just a Christian-ran organization to do your sports programs. And so Upward in Fairfield is hosted by the CP Church. It is not necessarily a ministry of the CP Church.
Both soccer and basketball,
both
right?
Both soccer and basketball.
And cheerleading.
Right. And so it's a community ministry.
Right.
And it is a soccer program for pre-K through 6th grade and a basketball program for kindergarten through 6th grade. And the only difference between this and a different organization that puts on a basketball program or a biddy basketball or peewee basketball, at each game and each practices, there's some type of Christ is related to the sport somehow.
There are breaks.
Right.
There are breaks in the middle of practice or in the middle of the game, the halftime break. There's some fellowshipping done there. Right.
And so there's a devotion done.
A devotion, okay.
Essentially a devotion done at each practice and each game typically.
How many years of soccer? How many years have they been doing soccer here at CP Church?
Let me think on that. I want to say this is our fourth year. This was our fourth year of soccer, so we've done four seasons now, I believe.
How's the attendance?
I think it's not necessarily growing, but it's not losing people either. It's right about where we've been, right around 100 kids.
Oh, really?
Which is great, and that gives us enough for, I believe, 16 teams. And we've got four fields out there behind the church.
And this isn't full-size soccer fields, is it, as I recall? This is more like 30 or 40 yards or something like that?
That's right, yeah. It's about the size of a basketball court.
Uh-huh.
Next year, and maybe I'll get back on here in the summer and get talking about soccer, we're going to look into getting a larger field, though.
Oh, really?
Something we noticed this year was the fact that our preschoolers play on the same field as our sixth graders.
Oh, that's
same size field.
It gets a little little tight for a sixth grader, I'm sure.
Right, and we've got some sixth graders who've been playing for 4 years now, and then you've got somebody who's just playing for the first year and trying to play goalie, and you know they're getting the ball coming in at them as quick as can be, and so we're going to try to expand our fields and make some larger fields for our sixth graders graders, fourth through sixth, to kind of build their skills on a little bit more.
So. The skill building, the training level at soccer is pretty good, isn't it? For at least for Fairfield, because we don't have any other junior systems anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
School doesn't have anything.
There's no. As far as I'm aware, there's no other school or soccer programs in Fairfield, and that kind of is unfortunate. Just because when you get to sixth grade in our soccer program, that's all.
You got
nowhere
else to go.
That's all there is for you. I believe there's a club team over in Mount Vernon. So I mean. If you have the money and the time, you can travel back and forth to Mount Vernon for a club soccer
team. I think Mount Carmel plays too, but I don't know if they have a club team. I know they have, I believe their school plays over there.
Okay. And so, so Upward, it breaks it down very simplistic. And if you go through the whole program, you start at pre-K and they give you simple drills and they give you different ways to make it exciting for the children.
Oh, really? How
so? And to implement a soccer ball with that.
How so? Training?
One of the drills, you know, this was with pre-K, and we played a red light, green light.
Sure.
And, you know, you just start off with red light, green light, and you may play that the whole practice. Not the whole practice, but the first week you may just play red light, green light. But
just to get the kids used to listening to rules?
Right. And then the second week you throw in a soccer ball, and you teach them, you know, how to kick the ball and then stop the ball. And so that's one. And then I'm trying to think. There was another game. Oh, what was it? It was kind of similar to
not Red Rover, Red Rover, because that's good for football.
That's good for football, American football, not
You're right, American football, not international football.
Right.
That's right. But that is good for football,
right?
I mean, I remember playing it. Just thinking, that was great.
I remember we played when I was younger at church camp. There was an older group of boys who played Red Rover, Red Rover. On the stage during the talent show.
Oh, really?
And
at what age would this be? Age kids?
The junior high kid, eighth grade. Oh. This was a junior and junior high camp.
If they were playing seriously, that's too old.
And the nurse came down the aisle and she was yelling and hollering at him. And I don't know to this day if the nurse was in on the joke with them.
Oh, really?
But man, she was yelling up one side and down the other. I thought, as you know, a little 10-year-old sitting there, I was like. So I never misbehaved around that nurse ever again.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, you saw her mad. Okay, so the soccer was, you thought, pretty successful this fall.
Yeah, it was great. We had, we had 105 total kids. We had 6 weeks of games. We had to reschedule a couple just due to some rain this fall.
Were you able to get them rescheduled, or I mean, I didn't know if you were, because you did practice at the same time of the game, right? Practice during the week.
Yeah, so the way we do it is you practice, practice nights are there's typically three different practice nights, and then you have, that's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and then games are on Saturday morning.
Okay, so when Saturday games got washed out, yep, you ended up playing them on one of the practice nights, I guess, right?
What we did is we just took one of the weeks and added it on to the end of the season, and so we technically, I guess, had 5 weeks.
Okay.
And it took us 7 weeks to get five games in.
When you get when you have those washouts of the 100 kids, what kind of a number does everybody tend to stay involved toward the end, or are some of them beginning to waver off toward the end, thinking about, oh, you know, we got basketball coming up or something?
You know, we had really good participation. I don't know of anybody who necessarily wavered off like that.
Yeah.
And I think we get some conflicting with our basketball and school basketball.
Sure.
But as far as soccer goes, I believe we had everybody staying. There was one night we had our makeup game was the week after Columbus Day.
Oh, okay. It's getting pretty cold.
Yeah, and so we were getting a little chilly. Luckily, it was warmer this year.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But we had our practice on Columbus Day, which is a school day or a
holiday.
And you know, I got to practice that night, and since it was a makeup practice and it was a holiday, I looked around, and instead of having about 50 kids out there practicing on a Monday night, I think we had about 15.
Oh, really?
And I had one kid out of eight on my practice team show up. And, you know, so that was the only time that I was ever kind of like, oh, we might not have anybody here for these games.
That might have been a mistake, yeah.
Right, but then on the game day that week, everybody showed back up, and we finished the season, and it was good.
Well, I'm glad it was successful. We're going to talk about basketball. They've got registration coming up, as well as tryouts. And we'll be back with Holton Sandiford here in just a moment. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back right after this. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 at WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. My guest across on the other side is Holton Sandiford. He's the youth minister at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And we're talking about upward. We were talking about upward soccer. Now we're going to talk a little upward basketball. Although I have been asked, I was going to do it earlier, but I didn't know. I didn't remember if it was you hate to ask somebody about their personal life, but I understand congratulations are in order.
Yes. While we were off air, Rick White sent Bruce a message telling him to ask me who Taylor was. And
well, see, now you and I talked about Taylor last time you were here.
Last time I was here.
You talked about how you horned in on her Bible study group, right?
Exactly.
I guess for want of another term. That may not be the most proper. That may not be what you would like to hear.
Truth isn't always proper, I suppose.
but I understand. Congratulations.
Right.
Order, huh?
So, yeah, we're engaged now, and so that's
how about
exciting.
That? When's the big day? Do we know?
It's going to be in August.
Outstanding. So, you like? Well, hold on. That's going to cut right into upward soccer season
next
year.
It is. Actually, speaking of that, I was making my yearly calendar the other night, and I got to looking. And I realized all of a sudden all my Saturdays were full for June through August, and that's when we were trying to schedule it. And so I messaged her, and I said, what about this date? And the date we're going to do it, August 12th, is also the day we're going to have our soccer coaches meeting.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to have the coaches meeting in the morning and then leave the meeting at the church and go to the wedding.
So where's the wedding?
It's going to be at Brush Creek Campground.
Okay.
The church camp where we
nice.
Met.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be a good time. Outdoor wedding, I guess?
I think so. We were looking at our wedding list, and I believe the auditorium there holds 270 people. And just with family alone between both of us, we had over 150.
Well, that's great. That's congratulations and best of luck. We were going to have you back to talk soccer to try to get that bigger field. I don't know if that'll be before or after the big day. So if it's after, congratulations
maybe,
in advance.
Maybe we can do that day as well.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, let's see if you can add some more stuff to that day. You're going to be busy. I got to tell you, Holton, that is a busy day.
I'm sure.
That's wonderful. Okay, basketball, upward basketball starts this week, doesn't it?
Yep.
What's going on this week?
This week, Friday and Saturday, we're going to have our basketball evaluations and registrations. And what those are, you're going to come. We'll have forms there for you to fill out to sign up. And you sign up your child, kindergarten through sixth grade. Friday night's going to be 5 to 8 p.m. Saturday is going to be 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And like I said, kindergarten through sixth, girls and boys.
And girls play basketball too, right?
Basketball and
cheerleading. It's a mixed team, right?
Right. So some ages have mixed teams. I know last year we had a surplus of third grade girls, so we had a third grade girls division on their own.
Oh, is that right?
I think we had about 20 third grade girls, and we just made them their own division.
Yeah.
But typically it's mixed.
I'm trying to recall, you're aiming for like seven kids a team?
Yeah. Yep. About seven kids a team. And that gives each of them an opportunity to get a lot of playing time.
Right.
But what you'll do this weekend at our registration and our evaluations, so you'll register, you'll pay your registration fee, which is $50. If you want shorts, they're $15 more. $50 will get you your...
Let's make sure everybody understands you're not just signing a piece of paper for $50. You're
right.
Getting something back out
right.
of that, aren't you?
So $50 will get you your jersey. It will get you a undershirt, a poster, and I believe a water bottle. I'm not going to promise that. I know in soccer they did water bottles this year. And then also part of that registration fee will also go to the end of the year awards, which sometimes are trophies. Sometimes you get a drawstring bag, a basketball, I think is what they did last year.
When do the games start?
Games will start on January 21st.
And you'll have practice like a week or two before that. Right.
So our first practice is going to be January 9th. Then, as I said, first game's January 21st. So you'll about have two practices before your first game.
So the question then is, it begs the question, why are we registering a month before games here, Holden?
Why are we registering?
There's a good reason, isn't there?
There, I would like to think there is. You know, sometimes there's
not.
So
get the boxes.
What happens after registration? So what you'll do tonight, on Friday night, you'll do evaluations. And so you'll bring your child into our gym, and they will shoot from three different spots on the floor, and they'll do a basketball dribbling drill, and then they'll do a defensive shuffle drill. And so we kind of evaluate them, and then we'll put them into the computer, and then the computer will split up the teams for us.
Oh, you're not you don't have parents drafting or something.
And so we don't have parents drafting, and so the computer splits up the teams based on the skill level that we see from the kids and their evaluation scores. And then what I do is I go back through and I look at it and make sure each kid can practice on the night that the school that they're
that
with
that team is assigned.
Right, and then I also make sure. you know, you don't have a team with seven boys and no girls, and then you have a team with four girls.
Yeah.
We don't want the team with all the girls beating the boys, of course.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. They're more mature at that age anyway. They probably would.
I tell you what, we had a couple girls last year in the fourth through sixth grade games that I wouldn't have even gotten out there and played with them. They beat all those boys up, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that happens.
And so I checked that, and then I also checked to make sure, you know, if it's a fourth through sixth grade division, that one team doesn't have sixth graders and one team only has one. And so it takes a couple of weeks just to go through that process, and then we track down coaches.
What is the best way to get coaches for that? I mean, after, do you wait till after you've already got the kids divided? That's when you start looking for coaches?
Yeah.
And the reason you can do that, it seems like to me, Holton, and correct me if I'm wrong, is because the practices, the upward system, the practices are pretty regimented, aren't they?
Right. So the easiest way for us to get coaches is I actually had a guy call the office the other day volunteering to coach already.
Oh, that's good.
And I don't think that's ever happened for me.
How about that?
The easiest thing for you to do is typically the coach is one of the child's parents, and there's a spot on the registration form that says I'm willing to coach my child's team, yes or no, and then you fill it out. And so when we're going through, we look and make sure, you know, oh, there's a coach here. And last year at basketball, we almost had enough. So anybody out there who's
so you weren't twisting any arms, you weren't twisting too many arms,
just a few. But we go through and we make sure. That's another thing I check is to make sure, you know, that there's not two kids whose parents said they would coach on the same team.
Right.
And so then I split those up, and then we typically get close. Maybe have six coaches left I have to call, and then at that point, you know, I start going through the teams without a coach and say, kind of look at the names and find out who I think on that team, or I sit down with some other people who may know these people and figure out who would be willing to coach that team. And then I just start making calls.
How do you go about getting for the most part, getting the kids informed or the kids' parents informed? Do you send stuff to schools, or how's that work?
Right. This year, yep. So that's what we did this year. About Thanksgiving time, I went around and I took a registration form to each school, and I took enough for one child, for each child. And so they sent them home with them. And that's the easiest way. Another way, the press release at the Wayne County Press, and then also I dropped one off at the Vine. I would say the best way to follow Upward Sports, though, is to follow our Facebook page, and that is just Fairfield CP Upward Basketball and Cheerleading.
The Fairfield CP Upward Basketball and Cheerleading, okay. You're not just Fairfield kids then, so you're taking kids from Wayne City, Jeff, Sisney, all over the place, right?
Right. So, yeah, we... Last year, I know alone, we had children from Flora, from Wayne City, two or three boys from Hamilton County.
Do they not have Upward programs in those places?
And so Flora doesn't have one. I believe Clay City has started one.
Uh-huh.
And so Clay City will be taking a group of the Flora kids, which will be great for them.
Yeah.
It's a little closer. And then Hamilton County, I believe I was informed, had stopped doing their basketball program and has a flag football program, though. And so I'm not sure if they're going to reinstate the basketball program this year.
Hamilton County has stopped an Upward basketball program?
That's what I heard.
That's the hotbed of basketball.
And so
well, has always been anyway.
And that's what I heard. And I don't know if they have another organization maybe running a children's basketball program. So we have a wide range of kids coming from all over. I believe we have some kids from Albion. I know for our soccer we did. And you know, we just really get kids from all over the Wayne County area and even a little further.
Tell me a little bit about how much is involved. How many practices? If my child is going to be involved in this, how long is the season? How many practices? How many hours a week am I looking at?
Okay, yeah, you know, it's quite simple. I think it is. We start, as I said, first practices are the 9th of January, and you're going to have two before your first game. And then we have 6 weeks of games.
So one practice a week?
One practice a week, 1 hour. So you come into our church gym at the Fairfield CP Church. You have 1 hour practice, and then you come back on a Saturday, and you have a 1 hour practice.
The gym's divided. The gym is divided into two courts, right?
Correct. So, yeah, we play. We roll in some basketball goals, and we play. Instead of playing long ways on the court, we play sideline to sideline and set up two goals on each end. On each sideline.
This is how many teams do you know? This is the intriguing part to me, is that you have and you're going to blow me away. I know when I ask you how many teams end up having to coordinate in this thing, because you're having you're having games all day Saturday. You've got to figure out practice times for people. How many teams will you end up putting together? How many kids are involved in the Upward basketball?
Right. It's quite large. We're really happy with our program. Last year we had about 240 participants, and that was cheerleading and basketball. Wow. And we ended up with about 32 basketball teams, about 30 basketball teams, and 4 cheerleading teams.
And you figure an hour practice for 30 teams, that gets to take, even at 1 hour a week split courts, that's going to be a lot of hours.
Right. And so last year we had Monday practices, Tuesday practices, and Thursday practices, and there were 3 separate hours on each night. And so that's, 9 hours there,
yeah.
And then you split the court, and you can get each team takes half of a court, which is technically half a court.
Uh-huh.
And so we have 4 teams at a time.
And the games taking place on Saturday, are they about an hour apiece?
Yeah, we try to run them right at an hour. We get there, try to get that first game started right at 8 a.m.
So you're looking at 8 games because you got 2 courts going, right?
Correct, yeah. So we start that first game at 8 a.m. and try to have that one done, honestly, by 10 till. And that's the tough part is the transition time of the games there.
Really?
Because we have,
you got to give kids a chance to warm up, don't you?
Have to give the kids a chance to get excited for the game and everything. And you've got 200 family members from the 8 o'clock game, probably more than that, 300.
They're going to be coming in and moving out.
They're going to be going out while 200 for the next game are coming in. And, we have enough seats maybe for 200 to 300 people, and all of a sudden we've got 600 people trying to fit into the gym. And so
I got to tell you, I saw it a couple of years ago. Rick and Sarah asked me to come down and do some announcing a couple of years ago. And I thought the logistics of this thing were just amazing, to be able to get that many people in and out.
Right. And, it's, throughout the Saturdays of the game, there are no doubt at least 1,000 people who come in and out of that gym that day.
That's incredible.
And it's a little bit of madness, but it's kind of organized madness. Rick and Sarah did a great job of getting some different things happening. They get the children set up in a different spot for the next game, so they're out of the way and they're not running around on the court. And we typically, last year, we went from first game started at 8 o'clock, last game ended at 4 o'clock.
Wow.
And, that makes for a fun day.
That makes for a long day.
It does.
I've got Holton Sandiford here. He's the youth minister at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church out here in Fairfield. We're talking about Upward basketball. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it when we return. Here you are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. We'll be back after these.
Rolling down Highway 95, sailing through a hometown countryside. Move on over, stand aside, my cruise control, no overdrive. Need to take my baby home.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. My guest across the way is Holton Sandiford. He's the youth minister. How long have you been youth minister down there at CP Church now?
CP Church? I've been there for, I was a summer intern for several years. I was there for 3 or 4 years as a summer intern and have been there for about a year and a half full time now.
Well, that's pretty good. Congratulations.
So, thank you.
We're talking about Upward Basketball and just the real production that goes into it. How many volunteers will you have for this Friday and Saturday night? Because you got to figure you're going to be looking at 200, 250 kids over the course of 2 days. That's going to be a little bit of a show for that, too.
Right. I would say our numbers are going to be a little lower on our volunteers this weekend. But I'm hoping to have at least 20 volunteers each day. And so whether they're the same 20 each day, but 20 we're going to need. Friday we're going to need about 20, and Saturday we're going to need about
20. How much expertise does one need to be a volunteer for that?
None at all.
That's what I was wondering.
I do it, so you don't need much. it's very
simple. Well, you're tall, so folks probably think you know how to play basketball.
Right, that's what it was for me. I was tall, so I was decent at basketball.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You know, if you can run a stopwatch and hit a couple buttons, you're very capable of doing the evaluations. If you're not able to do that, good news is you can measure a kid and see their height. You can size them for their uniforms, or you can just sit there and you can help us tell them how to fill out the registration forms.
Are you looking for volunteers for this weekend as well as for next month, or what are you doing right
now? We're looking for volunteers still. We've had a large help from our church typically. However, as I was saying earlier, you know, I truly believe that
it's a community event.
Upward is a community event. It's not a CP event, and that's why if it was a CP event, we'd only open it up to our children and we'd fail at it.
Right.
But it's a community event, so if you're looking to volunteer here, come on out.
How do folks find out more information about that?
Just give us a call at the church. The church phone number is 618-847.
You had to look it up last time too.
5281.
Give that again.
Yeah, if you're able to help us with evaluations, and we'll get into more of how you can help us during the season.
Sure.
Just give me a call at the church here. The church number is 618-847-5281.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it says.
Ask for Holton Sandiford.
Holton, God bless him. Last time he was here, he didn't remember the phone number. We had to look. He had to look again.
I had it memorized this time, but I was just afraid I'd mess it up, so I wrote it down just to be sure.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay, you said that there were some timing stuff and the defensive shuffles. What's the cheerleader evaluation?
You know, as far as I'm aware,
you're not involved in that, are you?
I hope not. I hope not. As far as the cheerleader evaluations go, they simply come in and they do their sizing, and they get their sizes for their uniforms and everything. And then what the cheerleaders will do, though, is in a couple of weeks there will be a cheerleader camp.
On a
Saturday morning, they'll come into the church for 2 or 3 hours and do a little camp.
Yeah.
And
these kids are young enough. There's no tumbling or anything like that. You're not holding up holding the girls up in the air or whatever.
That's right. We're, you know, very simple stuff.
That's probably smart. Okay. So after this weekend, are there any opportunities if somebody's going to be out of town this weekend? Are there opportunities later for folks who can't make it Friday and Saturday?
Right. Yeah, there are plenty of opportunities. We were talking on the break here a second ago and trying to come up with a number of how many people it takes each week to run basketball. It's not just myself.
I didn't mean opportunities to volunteer. I meant opportunities for kids to be able to play.
You know, this is it. Sorry, this is it. These 2 days are the days to register. If you're not going to be in town, however, and if you can get a hold of me ASAP at the church.
Get a hold of you as soon as you can.
And get a hold of me. We're not going to let you – we're not going to make you not be able to play.
Right.
So if you're going to be out of town and you know it, just give me a call, and we'll see what we can't get set up for you to bring your child in and run these drills as well.
Okay, now let's talk about the other opportunities for volunteer because – and I'll tell you, I was like I said, I was down there that one day, and I was only there for 2 hours, and it was a production. The number of people in and out of that gymnasium for just those 2 hours, from 9 till 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, were amazing. And you've got people cooking, you've got food, because you've got to have meals for everybody all day long too, don't you?
Right. Yeah. We have a large concession. Flo Simpson runs our concession stand for us, and you know, that's one other thing that I just don't have to worry about too much, which is great. And we have pork typically, burgers. I think we have pork chops, or there's chicken, I think, and Polish sausage.
You get different drinks, volunteers helping cook too, don't you?
Right. And so we have, you know, we've probably got about 10 people in the concession stand selling it. And we've probably got about 5 guys outside at the grill cooking it up. You got about 30 coaches there. We need referees as well. Typically, we get about 15 to 20 referees. And then you got a few other people who are just doing odds and ends thing, such as, you know, running scoreboards or announcing. And then we also have people who come in afterwards who weren't even there all day, who just come in at 4 o'clock and start cleaning up so we can have our church clean for Sunday morning. And so I would say with all of our people, all of our volunteers together, we're looking at probably around 60 people every Saturday that were in need of volunteers.
No kidding.
And
that's a good. That's a pretty sizable crew there,
right.
Holton.
And yeah, and it takes a community. It takes a village, you know. And yeah. So it's not easy. And so if you're able to, refereeing is it sounds intense and it sounds hard. But here's the thing: we're in need of volunteers. I do it occasionally. I do the refereeing sometimes. And
let's put it this simple. Way. Refereeing, if you're an adult and you know if you've been watching basketball for a little bit, you can be trained to referee at an upward game, can't you? I mean, it's not that this is not the NBA.
That's right. This is this is little children's basketball, and as I've said before, upward is it's a program about teaching.
You might occasionally let traveling go.
Right. It's a program about teaching, and so if you see a kindergartner take off and catch the ball and take 2 steps, you're not. Not every time you're going to take the ball away from them. You're going to stop them and say, hey, buddy, here's what – and you just kind of explain it and teach it to them. And, we've had high school kids referee for us. We've had a couple younger eighth graders referee for us a time or two. But it's very simple. And so that's one way you can help out. Another way is to work in the concession stand, to work outside grilling if you are a master grill man or master grill lady. If you got a great voice to announce some names we've got everything.
Rick had to bribe me to do that, by the way.
What do you have to bribe you with?
I'm trying to remember what he gave
what
me.
What am I going to have to bribe you with?
Oh, I might come down and guest one day or something like that. Yeah. You got to bribe me with more sleep than I normally get. That's the problem.
So we won't schedule you for the morning, the AM games.
No. And that's the thing. I mean, people who know me that I know that I'm not going to do something like that, unless it's a lot of fun.
Right.
Is it... And whenever it's a lot of fun, it goes up to 6th grade. The basketball, while fun, it's not terrifically pushing and shoving serious, even at the 6th grade level, is it? This is not school basketball.
Right, yeah, school basketball. I went to a basketball game last night in the community. It is nothing like these school basketballs, these junior high varsity basketball games we have around here. There are games that get intense. I remember last year there were a couple games that were decided at the buzzer, and to have games
at the upward thing. You mean?
Yeah. And I'm excited about that. These are not games necessarily where you're going to be having the level and the interest and the competitiveness of a high school or varsity junior high basketball game. However, there is competitiveness.
There's some,
and the
sure.
kids compete against each other, and they love it.
That's the thing. I mean, they wouldn't be out there if they weren't having fun, and you're not going to have fun unless you are probably trying to win.
Right. Oh, yeah. And, so, I mean, there are children out there who know when they sit down how many points they have.
Oh, is that right?
They know, we played this team 4 weeks ago, and they beat us by 2 points. You know, they remember it, and so they're always looking to beat each other and to make sure they have the best record in their division.
And the interesting thing, other to me, we kind of glossed over it earlier, the devotional part of the upward system. It's there, and it's basically at a halftime or between games. It's not like you're in the middle of a church having to it's not nothing formality, is it?
No, yeah. And so what we've started doing, and Upward introduced this to us, and this is how we've been doing it for the past several years, and it just makes it that much easier.
Have games for
and
for
we
that
we
matter,
do
though,
a we do a minute to win it game with each devotion basically, and so we try to get 2 or 3 participants each game. And so we have somebody who leads the devotion. That's another place you can help out sometimes is volunteer to lead the devotion. But we have a minute to win a game. I know last year there's one I think where you have to shoot a blindfolded free throw. and you have a minute to make a blindfolded free throw. And then there's one where you have a minute to make a shot with a balloon.
I can tell you that I can't make a – I can't make an – if I, you give me a minute, I'm going to have a tough time making a free throw.
A free throw.
And then, let alone blindfolded.
Right. And then what Upward does is they have writers, I assume, who come up with a devotion to go along with these. And, you know.
And they send you these. They send you the that's what makes it easy on the people who are leading the devotion. It's already set up for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very easy. You know, what I typically do is I typically pick out a devotion that we're going to do this week.
Yeah.
That's last year, Rick and I split it up most of the time. Jeff jumped in there some doing those. And we typically had one devotion a week, one game a week, and we would just have a little half a page printout, and it would be, you know, maybe 10 lines, and three or four of that would be explaining the game, and then the next six lines would be about the devotion.
Yeah.
Read a two scripture verse, and that's it.
It's not overbearing, is it, at all?
It's very simple. That's as I was telling you earlier before we got on the show, you know, Upward breaks it down and makes it so easy for everything. From directing it to doing the devotions to coaching to refereeing, everything just becomes so simplistic through
Upward. Let's wrap up. You've got evaluations this weekend. Give me the hours again, if you will.
All right. Friday, we've got evaluations 5 to 8 p.m. That is December 16th, Friday.
And where?
5 to 8 p.m. CP Church, there next to Walmart, 1700 right. West Delaware.
If I can't make Friday, when?
If you can't make Friday, come on out Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we will be at the church as well. Kindergarten through sixth grade, bring your registration forms or we'll have them there for you. $50 per person, and we look forward to seeing you.
If anybody has any questions, make a phone call to
Holton Sandiford, 618-847-5281.
Thanks very much for coming in, Holton. Best of luck to you this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Folks, have a wonderful day.